Welcome to Body Ecology's detoxification training program. This is our fourth class, and today we're covering more on the products and practices that help with your detoxification. We're also going to be covering some options for how you can go green by making better choices that reduce your toxic exposure in your home. And today we have a special surprise for you. We have a guest, Dr. Alan Sashi, here to talk to you about detoxification of mercury. It is with my pleasure that I welcome Donna Gates and Dr. Alan Sashi to today's class. Welcome, Donna. Welcome, Dr. Sashi.
Good afternoon.
It's great to be here.
Yes, Heather, thank you. We got so many questions from people through emails about the heavy metals that, and particularly their concern of having metals in the mouth. But there is another part to this whole issue of toxicity, and that has to do with infections in the mouth, too. So I asked my friend, Dr. Alan Sashi, to come aboard and give us some really great information. Remember, I think many people signed up for this detoxification workshop thinking they were just going to get some information on how to take a few pills or, you know, how to do a 30-day program to get the poisons out of your body. But this is not what this workshop is about. This is much more in-depth. We want people to have a much greater understanding of the different types of toxins in the body, and these dental infections, as well as the heavy metals, are a big issue. So, Alan, thank you for being on with us today.
You're welcome.
We really can't leave dentistry out of the equation for optimal health, so I think this is one of our most important classes, actually, and I'm really grateful that you're on. I've heard you say a number of times you're only as healthy as your GI tract, and you talk about dysbiosis in the mouth. So could you say something to us about that just to get started with?
Sure. Well, basically, Dr. Mayo said, the original Dr. Mayo for the Mayo Clinic, that 80% of all disease starts in the mouth. Well, being a dentist, we really didn't appreciate that in our training. But now that I've been practicing dentistry for almost 40 years, I know that's very true. And when we include the GI tract, and if you think about it, the mouth is really part of the GI tract, and it's the north end of the GI tract. And if you have dysbiosis, as an example, in the mouth, which we're going to get into in a few minutes, you probably have dysbiosis in the rest of your GI tract, and perhaps the other way also. Dysbiosis is in your colon and small intestine. It could highly be contributing to periodontal disease and other issues mm-hmm. now.
Well, you know, I want to be sure that people understand a little bit about your background, too, that you practiced dentistry for years. I think, when did you start practicing, in the 70s?
1970.
Okay, that's a long time. And then you stopped being a dentist. I know you had a very, very successful practice, and you stopped practicing traditional dentistry because of your own health problems. Can you just tell us a little bit about that? How that led you to be who you are today and to know all that you do know about holistic dentistry?
Sure. I became so mercury toxic that I was having such pains in my neck and in my lower back that I thought was back pain, but it was really kidney pain, and just had to rest so much when I would come home from work just to be able to try to go to work the next day, that I decided to stop practicing. And it took me quite a number of years to find the right protocols and methods to detoxify myself of heavy metals, especially mercury, in a safe manner. There are many programs out there to aggressively do it, but if you're very, very toxic, it could really hurt you and hurt your kidneys and other issues. And so
I think that's interesting, because a lot of people have problems with the back, around their back, and they think it's a back problem. And really, it's the kidneys and the adrenal. They're fatigued, so their adrenals can be aching, and their kidneys are toxic with heavy metals. And you had even said to me one time that particularly the left kidney, in Chinese medicine, the left kidney is a sign of heavy metals, heavy metal poisoning.
Absolutely. And the Chinese know that for a long, long, long time. And it's the kidneys and the liver are organs of elimination, which we'll get into in more detail further into the talk. But so anyway, I had to stop practicing dentistry, and And now what I really specialize in is helping my patients, which are mostly dentists and doctors and nutritionists, and I've been involved in nutrition for almost 40 years, help them safely detoxify heavy metals from their body. And we do this through very sophisticated blood testing and looking at certain parameters and certain tests that are not normally done to see if heavy metals are entering the brain and to see if some other issues that are not normally tested are occurring, and see if the person's healthy enough to actually go under a detoxification program.
Well, I've learned so much from you, and I'm always still learning because you're learning, and so much more is being understood by your group of colleagues who I admire so much. But you told me about the free iron story in our body. Would you tell us more about that? Because this is something really important for people to understand. Most of the people that I'm connected with that follow the Body Ecology Diet, they have yeast infections in their body, have either had them and now they've got this infection more under control, or they are really dealing with an acute case of yeast infection. And many people don't even, of course, know they have yeast, but most of the people that come to Body Ecology are aware of yeast infections. And I think it's important for people to understand the connection between the iron. Everybody thinks, well, isn't iron a good thing? Don't we need iron? But what about free iron? Could you just talk about that? Because it's so important. It actually keeps the yeast infection alive and thriving, and it's, we've got to understand this one better.
Sure. Free iron can and actually does cause damage to the entire GI lining, and it's because it's so oxidizing. Free iron is actually iron that's not bound to a protein, so it's called free iron. Iron should always be bound to a protein when it's being transported around the body and in the blood. And you get free iron. How do we come across this? Free iron we get from eating too much red meat over a long period of time. So red meat consumption is one way. Bread and bakery products that are fortified with iron, and now that I'm telling you this, when you go to the store, pick up any loaf of bread, and you'll see it's fortified with iron, or it's also called sometimes ferrous sulfate. And they've been doing this since the 1930s because people used to be, there was such an epidemic of anemia during the 1930s that they decided in the United States to add iron in a form of ferrous sulfate to all breads and bread products, and it's even in pastas and things like that now.
How about the fact that we've got this free iron? Many people have too much iron and it isn't bound to the protein, and how do you test for that? And then how is that connected to candida? How is that connected to these periodontal infections in our mouth?
Well, the free iron, we run a test. We run several tests. It's a complete iron profile in the blood chemistry, and that's a little too detailed to perhaps to get into, but we measure six different parameters, not just iron by itself. But I'll just talk about one of them called transferrin. That's a protein that is attached to the iron to safely carry it around. And when that is low, and most people seem to be low these days, then the iron can oxidize any tissue it touches, and it's very common for it to cause oxidative damage in the GI tract, and it drives infections. Now, how does it do this? Well, every cell in the body needs iron to multiply, but also all bacteria, yeast, fungus, cancer cells, basically everything needs iron to multiply. It's part of the process of how cells divide. Well, if you have too much free iron around, you're going to drive infections. But the mechanism is that these cells, these other forms of bacteria and so forth, do not carry iron on board because it is so, so oxidizing to them. So they steal our iron at the opportune time, multiply, and then give the iron right back to us. And they've mastered how to do that over, you know, thousands or perhaps millions of years. And so when you have free iron, you're going to be driving infections, and whether that infection is in your mouth, like Gernal disease, or whether it's candida. And we all know as practitioners, when we're treating candida, many times we can knock it down and make it go away for 3 months, 6 months, but then a lot of the time it comes back. And that's, if you check for free iron, you'll find out that's what's going on, and that's why you couldn't get rid of it permanently, because free iron drives all infections.
Well, for years and years and years, I've also constantly heard and read about the connection between yeast and fungal infections in the body, and mercury in the body too, this mercury fungal infection connection. And one of the things I've kind of come to realize is that you've got to be working on getting the heavy metals and the mercury out of your body, and at the same time be dealing with bringing yeast infections under control, which means that you must be on an antifungal diet to do that. And that's what our diet is. It was originally developed, you know, to help bring yeast infections under control. It's become much, much more than that over time, and the microflora play a great role in, you know, helping clean up the body of these heavy metals and so on. But can you tell us more, Alan, about infections in the mouth? Because this is something I know some people understand this. There certainly have been articles written on it, but these infections in our mouth are really serious, and they can very much spread throughout the whole body, affecting all of the body. You see, I've read much on the connection between the infections in your mouth and the effect it has on your heart. Can you talk a little bit more about that to us as well?
Certainly. This field of dysbiosis, of course, people know about dysbiosis in the GI tract, but as I said, the mouth is part of the GI tract, and we feel now that that periodontal disease itself, infections in the gum tissue and perhaps the bone, is an example of dysbiosis in the mouth. And let me go into a little detail of how that might occur. It's that heavy metals, a lot of this is connected with heavy metals, and most people are not looking at it this way, but this definitely goes on all the time. If you place heavy metals, place mercury fillings in someone's mouth, within 2 weeks of placing those mercury fillings, what we call the bad bacteria, the very strong, powerful anaerobic bacteria sort of take over the playing field a lot, and the flora of the mouth changes drastically. And there's over 400 species of bacteria that have been identified in the mouth. There's only 200 in the colon, different species. There's many more bacteria in the colon, but in the mouth there are actually more species. And some of these are pretty nasty bacteria that can cause serious infections in the rest of our body.
Well, Alan, how, if we've got all this free iron in our body, is there any solution to that? What do we do?
There's two ways to take care of that. One is to donate blood at the Red Cross, which will bring down free iron if you have that situation. And it's not bad to donate blood anyway. The other is by taking colostrum on a regular basis. Colostrum kind of works its magic by soaking up the free iron with something called lactoferrin. Colostrum is very high in lactoferrin and lactoglobulins that tie up this free iron. And as we discussed already, you're going to have a difficult time getting candida under control long-term without controlling the free iron situation. The last comment on that free iron is also quite often present in periodontal disease, which I'm trying to get everybody to understand is just like dysbiosis, but in the mouth.
Colostrum can be purchased from the health food store, and you can actually purchase lactoferrin, just lactoferrin from the health food store as well. And you can get some fairly, you know, strong capsules. I think it comes in about 500 milligrams. But, you know, just read the labels, compare different products on the shelf. One of the things a person can do, too, of course, is in the spring, if they happen to be near a dairy farmer, they can get colostrum from a cow or from a goat and drink it. That was very commonly done back, 50, 60, 100 years ago. Because people understood how healthy colostrum was for building the immune system. But colostrum does have casein in it, and so many people are sensitive to casein that by just taking lactoferrin itself, that would be an excellent tool for helping with this free iron problem. Can you talk a little bit about infections in the mouth spreading into the whole body, please, Alan?
Certainly. Don, I want to ask you a question. Do you know about the Red Cross's 72-hour rule?
Oh, no.
This is about the Red Cross will not take your blood if you've had your teeth cleaned in the last 72 hours.
Mm.
Why is that? And the next time you get blood, you'll see that's one of the questions they ask. And why does the Red Cross actually know that you don't know? And what is the Red Cross know that your dentist doesn't know, And what does the Red Cross know that your doctor doesn't know? And what's going on here is that bacteria from the mouth are entering the blood, and they, of course, go everywhere. And that slide we have there, that beautiful slide showing the dental systemic connection, this is called the foci of infection theory, developed by Dr. Price, and I know you're familiar with his work.
Weston A. Price.
Weston A. Price and the Weston A. Price Foundation and the Price-Pottinger Foundation. You want to comment about that a little bit, Donna, because I know you're very familiar with that.
Well, I'm just a really big believer in people joining the Weston A. Price Foundation. Sally Fallon puts out a quarterly journal that has excellent information, and she, as you know, that's her goal, is to spread the work of, continue the work of Dr. Weston A. Price, and she, everything that they talk about is validated with research. So I would love to see people, you know, if they don't know about the Weston A. Price Foundation, absolutely looking that up online and becoming a member. They are supported by funding. People basically subscribe and belong to the Weston A. Price Foundation, but for that you get this great journal, and which is just one of the most important things you can read all year long. But it also, the Weston A. Price Foundation has a really important job of fighting to bring back healthy foods back into our diet, real foods back into the diet. So, yes, we're very grateful to Dr. Price for what he did. And so this chart here is another example of his brilliant work. So I'm glad that you got to include it, Helen.
And this is also why, with that chart, why it's not good to have bleeding gums. And if your gums bleed when you brush your teeth or when you're flossing, you're contributing to systemic inflammation and perhaps infections in the rest of your body from the bacteria that are entering your body through the gum tissue. The gum tissue, as that slide shows, is really becomes a super highway for really very, very strong, sometimes deadly bacteria entering your body that make toxins and spread anywhere and everywhere.
Hmm. Well, would you talk more about heavy metals, why they're so toxic to the body? We know they're toxic, but specifically, what are they doing?
Yes, and I know this is the main subject for today, so let's get into it. And why they're so toxic is for two or three reasons. They cause tremendous oxidative damage to cell membranes. And this damage is continuous. You know, once it starts, it's not going to go away unless you do something about it. And so this extreme free radical damage to cell membranes is really disruptive to cell function. And we can actually measure that these days with a machine called the BIA, which stands for Bioelectrical Impedance Analysis, and we're able to measure actual cell membrane health and cell membrane function. And when people have very low and poor numbers on that, we know they have some serious issues going on at the cell membrane level, and as dentists, if we do other tests and find that they have heavy metals, well, that's probably the main reason. And it's common sense, really, that you're only as healthy as your cells, but as Einstein's, my favorite quote of Einstein, the problem with common sense is that it's not very common. And the second reason that heavy metals are so damaging and dangerous is they actually destroy enzymes and enzyme systems. And let us not forget that all the work in the body, all the 100,000 things the cells are doing every nanosecond, are all run by enzymes, controlled by enzymes. No enzymes, no life. So heavy metals are a major contributing factor to destroying whole enzyme systems. And that's for those two reasons that are really why they're so dangerous.
You know, I love what you said about how common sense isn't very common. It's interesting to me because over the years, so many times people have said, when they've heard me give a talk or something, is, wow, that just makes a lot of sense. It is common sense. You don't even need research necessarily backing it up, although what I say can be backed up with research. It just really is common sense. The other thing I wanted to throw into what you said, just for clarity, is that I love the word cell membrane. I love the word membrane because brain, you know, membrane is B-R-A-N-E, but actually, the membrane of the cell is the brain of the cell, so it's really the B-R-A-I-N of the cell. And if the cell membrane is hardened and oxidized, if the brain of the cell is hardened and oxidized, then the brain, the cell is going to be very sick, the cell is toxic. So that's something, I just like a visual I'd love for people to have when they think about cell membranes. So you read, you know, you're always reading about cell membranes, people are talking about them, but every time somebody uses the word membrane of a cell, I always think of this little brain. Imagine what happens as our brains become more and more damaged, and they are quite damaged today. You said something to me that many of the dentists practicing today are so toxic because they're constantly dealing with mercury and heavy metals that it's affecting their thinking.
Exactly. And all as dentists, a lot of what we're doing is making crowns. And to do that, we're usually replacing a large silver filling, mercury filling, and removing that by drilling through it to remove it to do the crowns. And so after many years of that, we all become super toxic with mm-hmm. mercury and other metals, not just mercury, but you know, mercury is probably the worst one. And if we also have free iron going on, the combination of those two is really disastrous to every cell in our body, potentially.
Well, one of the kindest things we could do is to stop going to a traditional dentist, because that would then, if nobody went to them, would put them out of business, or else kind of force them over into the other camp and where they become educated, and this could save their lives. So it's a very kind thing to find a holistic dentist and support them and no longer support traditional dentistry. Can you talk about the principle of adaptive capacity? That sounds like a complicated term, but we've discussed it before, and I find it pretty fascinating. I'd like for you to talk to all of us about that.
Yes, certainly. This is one of my favorite subjects, and it's another one of these Einstein things. It's so simple, but not very common, that it's simple yet very profound. And here's what it really means, adaptive capacity. When you can no longer adapt to something, then you can't handle it anymore. It's like you can adapt to the day you can't. Now, let's clarify exactly what that means. It means like one more little thimbleful of that substance, whether it's stress or mercury or whatever, is enough to throw you over the edge and you can't adapt anymore. You can't handle it. Your body can no longer adjust to that. You just can't keep up with it anymore. And there's so many toxins in our lives now, in the food, the air, and the water, plus mental stress and so forth, that the body has a tremendous job to try to keep up with all of this. And eventually it just cannot. And mercury doesn't just go away. It has to be removed from all the tissues in the body, not just our teeth. And so once you've exceeded your body's adaptive capacity to deal with toxins, you're kind of in trouble.
Well, Alan, do you think that most of us are at that limit? We have reached our adaptive capacity?
I think that's very true if you live in the Western world here and don't live on a very remote, isolated area. But let's talk more specifically about the heavy metals. There's no one in the world that does not have lead in their body, whether they live in the Himalaya Mountains near the South Pole or whatever. And everybody has beryllium in their body, and the beryllium came from the atomic bomb explosions. I think there's been over 2,000 atomic blasts above ground and underground, and years ago they were doing above ground. So nobody wants to talk about beryllium, but it's a toxic metal that does not come out of the body until you actually remove the mercury, it seems. All the metals don't come out in order, and people that are real specialists at this understand these issues to some extent, and there's a lot still to be learned about it. But heavy metals are hard to get out of our bodies once they're in there. So everybody is dealing with this adaptive capacity issue, but we're dealing with it for all kinds of toxins, from pesticides to the toxins in our food, air, and water. And the organs of elimination, the kidney and the liver, at some point just can't keep up.
Well, on that depressing thought, let's give some solutions to people. Let's talk about the importance of glutathione.
Yeah, glutathione is the main antioxidant system of the body, and it's the number one way that the body removes heavy metals. We need adequate level or pools of glutathione, or reserve of glutathione, to have that happen. And glutathione is made up of three amino acids, cysteine, glutamic acid and glycine. And they provide something called, this is a little technical, this is the only little technical thing we're going to get into, provide disulfide groups or sulfhydryl groups that tie up the heavy metals and escort them out of the body. And in the people that we see, and don't forget, people are being referred to us because they have heavy metal issues a lot, or they're trying to find a safe way to get their mercury fillings removed and things like that. And we have a way of measuring glutathione in the body, and most people are kind of low, and many, many, many people are very, very low. And if you're very low, you should not have your mercury fillings removed till you restore glutathione to safe levels. Or you're going to very easily exceed your adaptive capacity all over the place in removing the heavy metals. So we think it's very important to build the person up and get their glutathione levels higher and get their energy levels higher before removing heavy metals.
Well, that's important, and I've said this, off and on, and I don't know if people really are getting it clearly, but these three amino acids that are the precursors for glutathione, they work with ATP, which is energy. So I've said over and over and over, I always say this, first and foremost, create energy. Do things in the body that will create energy, even small amounts to get you started. But these heavy metals, of course, are one of the things suppressing our energy. We're also, today people will tell you, I have no energy anymore. So we've got this vicious circle going where we've got to have energy to get these, to make the glutathione, to get the heavy metals out and to be this master antioxidant. And yet, we are low on energy too. But I love it when you say and validate and make me look good that we've got to have more energy, create energy in the body.
Absolutely, and that's why I'm into this whole field now and why I attract patients who have serious issues with this, including professionals, because I went through it, and I had no energy. I mean, I was so tired. I was in adrenal. Once I had my adrenals tested properly, I was in stage 7 adrenal burnout probably for 10 years and maybe longer. I don't know. But life is painful and kind of a downward spiral when you don't have enough energy. Let's face it, it's all about energy, but it's energy at the cell level. And without testing, it's hard to say, what's really going on. Just feeling tired is not the best test. It's not good to feel tired. But you could be tired just because you didn't sleep well or things like this or emotionally stressed. But when you're tired at the cell level, well, that's a whole other deal. Heavy metals just don't leave the body without doing something to get them out. And, it isn't a problem that occurs on Tuesday and then Thursday you're okay. You're just going to keep exceeding your adaptive capacity and probably exceed it more and more and get worse and worse unless some intervention is done. But it needs to be done safely. And actually, glutathione, is so important with this, but most people don't know how to take, even though they're interested in glutathione, don't understand that glutathione is totally destroyed in the stomach. And with our patients, we found that liposomal delivery, that means through the skin. There's several companies that make a liposomal cream, and it so totally bypasses the GI tract completely and gets into the blood through the skin, and we find in 30 days to 45 days, usually 30 days, we can restore glutathione levels to robust or at least pretty normal levels, and we really want to get them to robust levels before removing people's mercury fillings, because even when you remove them safely, there's still going to be some exposure to the mercury. And when you take the mercury fillings out, the mercury is still in the rest of your body and the organs in your brain and your liver, kidney, and many other places in your body.
When you read articles today, we're always being told to take antioxidants, and of course other vitamins like vitamin C and E are antioxidants always mentioned, but people rarely mention that glutathione is the master antioxidant, and the other ones don't even, vitamin C and E don't, for example, work as well without glutathione being present. And by the way, you had mentioned lead earlier, but vitamin C is effective, very good at helping to remove lead from the body. One of the things I wanted to say about glutathione, several things, is that it's high levels of glutathione actually are an excellent predictor of how long we're going to live. So when they've looked at the glutathione and people who've lived past the age of 100, those people have high glutathione levels. And again, that means that their body has a greater ability to detoxify. So that if you reduce anti-aging down to a nutshell, if you keep your body very well nourished like you would on the Body Ecology Diet, and if you keep your body free of toxins, if you've got a strong detoxification system in your body that is constantly eliminating poisons as they come in, you are going to be one of those people that live that longer and healthier life. So this is so important to, you know, like 78 million baby boomers are going to become a tremendous burden on our healthcare system and to the younger generations unless messages like this get out to people. If the message that, if the diet that we're offering people isn't, doesn't become the norm, fermented foods don't become the norm because they're powerful cleansers. The fermented foods are too, of these heavy metals and toxins and so on. Then we're going to have miserable old age for many, many, many people. So I'm, you know, one of my very next book actually is on anti-aging. And so I want people to realize that we're going to, you know, living a long time isn't, actually baby boomers aren't even concerned about dying. They're more concerned about how they're going to die. How miserable would they be? Will they still have their mind? Will they be wearing diapers? Will people be taking care of them? And they've lost their freedom. They can't drive cars anymore, shop for themselves, for example. That's the biggest concern for baby boomers. So this information that we're giving out here in this whole workshop is so important. And what we're talking about today is so important. We use, again, I'm always trying to find what foods would people take to solve a problem, and whey protein, the type that we recommend, which is undenatured. That means it hasn't been heated, so the proteins haven't been destroyed. Whey protein is a precursor to glutathione. It helps make more glutathione in the liver, and it's delicious. So people can go to a website that we mentioned on the paper, onegreenmom.com, and get the vital whey that we recommend. I'm very, very particular about the whey protein because there is just tremendous amount of whey proteins on the market, and they're all bad. And so be sure you get one that's undenatured. And a whey protein concentrate is you can get whey protein concentrate, whey protein isolates. I prefer the concentrates myself. And I want people to understand that whey protein is the predominant protein in human milk. When we are born and the first food that enters our body, 70% of that milk is whey protein and only 30% of it is casein. When you're getting milk from a cow or goat or any, you know, other mammal, you're now getting 80% casein and only 20% whey protein. It's the whey protein part of the milk that's so special. So, you know, that just, there's so many things about breast milk that make it right for a baby. But again, our babies are being born with a lot of toxins in them today. And so, breast milk, if it's high in glutathione and all these other wonderful nutrients that we, that must be in milk, that would be in milk if the mom is on the Body Ecology Diet before, during, and after her pregnancy, these babies are going to have this strong ability to detoxify, yes, they get the toxins. Yes, we feel really bad that babies are coming into the world today with all the toxins that are in them, but there are answers and there are solutions. And so high levels of glutathione are really important. And babies have this very strong energy, this very strong ability to push out toxins, to cleanse their body of toxins too. So we can really turn around this problem. It seems so gloomy and depressing to people, but I don't want people to leave with that message. I don't want them to feel that what we're talking about today, Alan, is just you know, we've got a mess going on here, because we do have wonderful solutions for people as well.
Absolutely, and I take my glutathione every day, twice a day, and I feel taking it before bed is very critical time, because the body's healing and regenerating at night, and so it's be very beneficial to be taking glutathione while you're sleeping all night.
You had said to me that be sure to rub it on the thyroid, and I thought, oh yeah, that's a great idea, because I just hadn't thought about that. But I do, you know, so many people have Hashimoto's, which is an autoimmune thyroid. In other words, you have low thyroid hormone, but it's because your immune system is viewing or seeing your thyroid as an enemy and it's attacking it. Now, think about this. This gets back to the common sense that we were talking about. Why would our immune system attack an important organ in the body, any organ in the body? Why would it attack our joints, for example, and cause autoimmune joint problems? Well, the only reason, the only reason it would attack the thyroid is if the thyroid has become filled with toxins. And it has for people. I learned from Dr. Lee Keneally that you can actually, it's a wise idea to put a castor oil patch over the thyroid to pull out some toxins as well. This is something I think could be very valuable for people to understand, because a lot of people are suffering from low thyroid. They've either been diagnosed with Hashimoto's autoimmune, or they haven't, but they have the problem. They haven't been diagnosed, but they do have the problem. So the endocrine system is just so sensitive to toxins and is so damaged by toxins.